track 8, and we have letters to the editor. There are 8 letters this week. 3 of them are from local politicians about the Lib Dems' methods of managing their councillors. And this follows from lengthy correspondence that's been going on in the paper for a number of weeks now. The first of those letters is from Councillor Andrew McGregor. The next is from Alison Eden. And the third is from Councillor Richard Dawes. I'm not going to read all of them. They take up rather a lot of space. The theme of Councillor McGregor's letter is, in terms of my party, I'm a member of no political party, which Councillor Swain knows full well. Councillor Swain wrote a letter a week or so back. And I sit as an independent. While I sit within the Democratic Alliance group in order to meet commitments I made to residents, they have no standing orders, no whip, and no instructions to vote. And Alison Eden writes, as a current Liberal Democrat member with 7 years previous experience as an elected councillor supporting residents in Tynemouth Central Ward, I think it's important to be clear to the voters of Teignbridge about how their Liberal Democrat representatives are told to vote by the leadership, especially given we're in control of the council. I think Councillor Swain's description of the lengthy statement requiring obedience as obscure is too kind, actually. I think it's appalling, and I would certainly not sign one of those statements again. Surely residents should be able to trust those representing them to use their brains, not follow orders. And this is brought together by the letter from Councillor Richard Dawes, leader of the South Devon Alliance. Last week, Councillor Swain responded to a letter from Councillor McGregor after he'd published bona fide Lib Dem rules that appear to demonstrate that the party operates a voting whip. Whereas the South Devon Alliance councillors can vote freely, implementing ideals they articulated to get elected, and often vote differently, we rarely see the Lib Dems do anything other than vote as one block. He also noted in the letter that Councillor McGregor had joined the SDA party a day after being elected as an independent councillor. This is not factually correct. Councillor McGregor sits within the SDA group at TDC rather than being a party member. He does this as the SDA welcomes free-thinking independent councillors who share similar values. If he didn't sit within a group, the allocation of committee seats at TDC is so biased against independents, he wouldn't be allowed to sit on one single committee, therefore being severely limited in what positive impact he could have for the residents he represents. The final point that Councillor Swain raised was that the SDA has campaigned against the Con-Dem alliance, stating that the two major political parties in the district are essentially the same. The SDA councillors have based this on evidence of seeing no discernible difference in approach between the Lib Dems and the Tories locally on major policies. Specifically frustrating is the lack of challenges to the nationally enforced housing targets and the slavish implementation of the local plan, where the Lib Dems promised so much in 2019, but sadly delivered so little to previous Tory administration trajectory. The Lib Dems declared a climate and environmental emergency, but have done nothing to protect NA3, that's one of the local large housing developments. They actually scrapped the master plan that would have set out firm environmental protections and continued to enable mass house building in the district. But why should we be surprised? Look at the national picture after 13 years of disastrous Tory rule. Lest we forget that the Lib Dems were the enablers of the start of this disastrous period of history, forming the 2010 Tory-led coalition government that delivered the country the needless and painful austerity, a policy that has crushed our public services and set the foundations for the cost of living crisis. For those reasons, we offer an alternative to the same old, same old. The residents deserve so much more than being force-fed party policies dictated at national level.
And Jenny Jenkins of Tynemouth writes, can Bill Bailey help save our hospital? Dear Bill Bailey, having very much enjoyed your latest series of extraordinary portraits, the last one this week you filmed partly in Tynemouth. As an avid supporter of the NHS, like yourself, having started my training in the 1950s at the old Charing Cross Hospital, now living here in Tynmouth. You may be interested to know that our little Tynmouth Hospital was the first NHS hospital to be built after the forming of the NHS by Aneurin Bevan on July the 5th, 1948. It's still very much in use and has always been supported by the residents of Tynmouth. We are now trying so hard with petitions and demonstrations not to let it be sold to developers and pulled down in favour of luxury flats. Please find time to find out how you could put some of your admirable enthusiasm and influence behind our plea to save Tynmouth Hospital. And Jennifer Jenkins is the SRN.
Community Spirit of Ashburton. Barbara Denball of Western Road, Ashburton, writes, "At a time when we hear so much of impatience and discourtesy, let us not lose sight of so much goodwill too. I was unfortunate in having a heavy tree branch come off one of my trees. It blocked the road and did some damage to a car roof. My neighbours rallied round calmly. No one was accusatory or unpleasant at being inconvenienced. An excellent local professional tree surgeon sprang into action, helped by others who had chainsaws, and removed the hazard as swiftly as possible. Motorists, including a bus driver, some of whom had to reverse and find another route, were largely kind and sympathetic. Yet again, the community spirit of Ashburton and this area provided considerate and understanding. Thank you to everyone involved for not making a drama out of a crisis. You are indeed a very present help in trouble."
We now have some tree advice. Graham Towler writes via email, "I noticed an article about the dying tree in Newton Abbott." That's one of the trees in the town centre. "These particular specimens thrive with their roots in water, and having not seen it in person, it could be a Phytophthora disease. However, it isn't the ideal tree to plant within paving due to the fact it dries out easily and would suffer."
MPs claim in stark contrast to CCC. Mike Balden writes via email, "In his View from Westminster column on August the 24th, Central Devon MP Mel Stride says we should be proud of the UK's progress towards net zero. This is in stark contrast with the government's own independent advisers, the Climate Change Committee, CCC, who have been withering in their criticism of the present government, saying that targets are being missed on nearly every front. Former Tory Environmental Minister and ex-chair of the committee, Lord Deben, has also been scathing about the new Cumbria coal mine and new oil and gas licences in the North Sea, saying they were utterly unacceptable. These have been decisions sanctioned by the Cabinet, on which Mel Stride sits, and therefore he must take personal responsibility. The move to net zero has enormous potential for growth in the economy, energy, security, and a cleaner and cheaper future. The Climate Change Committee has warned that under this government, investment and progress have stalled. We are being left behind by other countries such as the USA and China, and also the EU. We desperately need a change of direction, and it has become increasingly obvious that the only way for this to occur is with a change of government.
Departing MPs will benefit at the double. Justin Beamond writes via email, "At the end of last week, it was announced that retiring MPs would get a major uplift to their severance package. Up to now, an MP leaving Parliament was eligible for an additional 2 months' salary, representing a departing payment of £14,430. Well over 60, mainly Conservative MPs, are proposing to leave Parliament, many of them aware that they are unlikely to be re-elected. Miraculously, this payment has suddenly just been doubled to £28,860 for MPs either retiring or failing to get re-elected, at a time when many families and single people cannot afford to eat properly, relying on food banks and unable to keep warm in winter. This action seems both overly generous and does little to keep MPs in time with the poverty that this government's policies have driven their constituents to.